Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Tuesday morning on our program Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course my beloved engineer, none other than Brother Boniface, who's with us this morning. Let's welcome inshallah the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and Company. And of course, let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the 21st of Ramadan, 1442, corresponding to the 4th of May, 2021. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. And yes, anybody has any questions, you know the number, 084-786-3132 084-786-3132 International overseas listeners +27 84 786 3132 I see many messages were coming in this morning. How's Mufti Sahab's Ramadan? How's Mulana Arafat's Ramadan? And how's the team of Markaz Sahaba Ramadan? That you need to ask our beloved senior Ustad personally. Let's cross over to him this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. Ustad, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Yusuf Asma. And our brother here, Boniface, thank you very much. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is going very well. Whatever little but we do, one word of advice, daily beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta samiul alim. Whether it's our siyam, our fasting, our qiyam, our taraweeh, our sadaqat, khairat, whatever it is, so always beg Almighty Allah for acceptance, and that is the main criteria by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Ustaz, I know that there's a question came in from Actonville, says, Mufti Sahab, online forum with mixing of genders, is it permissible or not? I need an answer so I can expose them. That's what it says, Ustaz, online forum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد all praise is due to Almighty Allah the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam to answer the query we need to explain to you first Surah 24 is Surah Nur, chapter 24. Our mother Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, her father Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, she Siddiqa radiallahu anha, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur, teach your female Surah Nur, because there are so many issues there, related, connected to the females and the ladies. So that is number one. Number two is this, that Almighty Allah mentions Surah 24 verses 30, 31. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing men and to lower their gazes and protect their private parts. Thereafter, the next verse, Almighty Allah mentions for the ladies, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدُنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظُنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ. They tell the believing women that they must lower their voices, they lower their gazes, and remember that they must protect the private parts, so lowering the gazes. Now, if your question means this, there is a forum, and you must remember that everybody is making comments, male and female. This one is trying to prove his point, and she's trying to prove her point, and then they will be giggling, and then there'll be this, there'll be that, and all that. Obviously, that is haram in Islam, and there's no place in Islam. Therefore, Quran Sharif taught us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Zina, fornication, adultery, that every person knows is haram and unlawful. But Almighty Allah states, do not even go near fornication and adultery. So what is the meaning of that? It means that things that will lead to fornication, things that will lead to adultery and so forth. So all that also is unacceptable in Islam. So the way you have mentioned it, this ayat will be applicable there. Surah 17, chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 32. Chapter 17, verse 32. So where you have an online forum, and there's male and female, and everybody interacting, and us, and everything, so that definitely unacceptable in Islam.
Ustad, there's a sister in Azadville saying that Mufti Sahib given talaq after making a written agreement. Now he does not want to accept Mufti Sahib because he went against his agreement, and we caught him having an affair with the school teacher, Ustad, anonymous.
Remember that the way I understand the question is this, that there were some problems between husband and wife. Then the wife went home, maybe to a parent's place or brother's place. And then they said, okay, let's reconcile. The husband initially agreed to all that. And certain conditions were drawn up. And in that condition, it was mentioned, if he, the husband, has an affair and so forth and so on, then talaq will take place. So if that was written, now who will issue the talaq? That if it was written that he must issue the talaq, so now maybe he is saying no, he won't give the talaq. And if it was tafwidu talaq means that the agreement was that the wife can issue the talaq, so that is the meaning of tafwidu talaq. The husband delegated the right to his wife as well. He can also issue the talaq and divorce, and she also can do so. So if she can do so, she must exercise the right and then give the one talaq or two talaq or three talaq, whatever the agreement was. And if the agreement was that if he violates these conditions, then he will then give the talaq and divorce and so forth. And now he's going against that. So very easy, go to your ulama, go to your darulums or whoever, and in that way you are saying in Azadville. So go there, mashallah, and tell them that this is all the documentation, all the agreement, and now he is reneging and all that and turning against that. So when he reneges against this promise of his, agreements of his, then you can apply for a fasakh, an annulment of marriage. So that will be the next option open to you.
Sister says, it is a tafwizu talaq, and the boy says Allah's la'nat is on those ulama who breaks his nikah, Ustad.
So you must remember that he must speak last about the cursing the ulama. If he is guilty of having an affair, then for him is the death penalty. And you, if you got tafwizu talaq, then exercise your right. So whether it's one talaq, two talaq, three talaq, so you can exercise it. Yes, if you don't want to exercise it and you want to give him another chance, so that is your option. But if you are asking that if you want to use the tafwizu talaq, so remember you have all the right Islamically to do so. And all the talk of his of cursing, that means nothing. You must remember he is guilty. That is the old tactic of the husbands. They are wrong and then they want to blame everybody else beside themselves. So you must remember the curse is on him for having the affair, and then the death penalty falls in that case there. So you can use that tafwizu talaq and totally permissible.
Sister is asking for your advice, Ustad. Should I give him one more chance or not? It's the second time we're catching him, Ustad.
Remember, make istikhara and see. We don't know who the parties are, what the children are. Okay, let's carry on now.
Ustad, I want to sit in my room for i'tikaf. Can my husband and children sit with me for iftar in my room, Ustad?
Remember that if you are speaking about the Sunnah Etikaf, the time has passed already. Sunnah Etikaf in South Africa started yesterday at Maghrib time, just at sunset time. So I don't know if you were already in the room or what have you and spend the night there. And if you're speaking of Nafil Etikaf, that is fine. You can even stay there. Your husband can stay there. Everything. You can have iftar. Because in Nafil is voluntary and so forth, so all that is permissible. But if it is Sunnat Etikaf, then you can't be sleeping with your husband and so forth and so on. All that would not be permissible.
Somebody says, if I get my menses 1 minute before iftar, is my fast accepted? Or do I have to repeat after Ramadan, Ustaz, revert sister?
Sister, mashallah, that for you, the reverts and so forth, we have started yesterday, our Mawlana Zahid Khan, Mallatala Rewardim, mashallah, a program that is that dedicated for new Muslims and reverts and so forth, where all these type of issues can also be discussed, but the basics will be discussed as well. So you must listen to it daily, Monday for now, Ramadan, so 2:30 to 3 o'clock. So remember our brother Maulana Zahid Khan's program between 2:30 and 3. So that's one point. Now sister, that what happens specially here in South Africa, whether you are in Durban or Johannesburg or Pretoria and all these areas, Springs and so forth, that when you look at the timetable, you will find that you just look at it, let's say this happened yesterday, that if you look at it, you will see sunset. I'm just giving times at random. So you must remember 5:37. Example, I'm just giving this example. So the sunset already occurred. But you will see that the iftar time written there is written 5:40. So they add 3 minutes, 2 minutes, all that after sunset as a precaution. So if your menses started at 5:39, 5:40 is the iftar time, and 1 minute before that will be 5:39. So your fast is valid because it means that your menses started after sunset. Although the timetable is showing 5:40, but that is precautionary time. If a person broke his fast at 5:39 or 5:38, so the fast is valid. So similarly, in that case, you don't have to worry. Your fast is valid, and there's no qada for that. Yes. Now, today you are in your menses, tomorrow, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all. So all those days, obviously, qada will be compulsory.
A sister says from Escort Ustad, in some of your answers, dear Mufti Sab, you say that it is possible to wear a platinum wedding ring, and in others you say it is not. Please clarify it, Ustad.
So you must remember, people sometimes have a problem with selective hearing, you know. So when I tell you that the Hanafi school says for the men, all rings are haram except silver ring, right? That is Hanafi school. And then you must remember for the women, according to Hanafi school, then you must remember that they say that the women can wear gold ring and silver ring and not others. But if you study the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and all of them, so they say you must remember gold ring for men is haram, and for the women, they can wear the platinum ring, they can wear this other kind of ring, all that, and even for the men it will be permissible. So that is the Shafi'i school. So there's no contradiction. The contradiction is if you are not paying attention and so forth, you hear with one ear, you know, you don't. So selective hearing. So then sometimes. So therefore in Arabic we have a saying, it's a poem like wa kam min aibin qawlan sahiha wa afatuhu min al-fahmi saqimi. How many a person say something correct, but the people listening, they are understanding there's a sickness in that, meaning they don't listen properly. So there's no contradiction. The Hanafis say for men only silver ring. Shafi, somebody say you can use other ring also beside gold. And remember, Hanafi say for women that only gold ring or silver ring. And the Shafi's Ambalis and them say it can be gold, silver or other type of rings also, platinum and what have you. So alhamdulillah, there's no contradiction.
I see the daughter says, dear Mufti Sahab, my Nana is very, very upset. He wants to know, is it disrespectful to sit in the places of the masjid where the regular old musallis have been sitting for years? Now that is itikaf, my place is gone. Nana don't want to go back to the Masjid Ustad.
Here there are three issues. Issue number one is this. And open the hadith kitab, you will find it. So in Tirmidhi Sharif it's mentioned, and you will find in other hadith kitab. One day, now this is, it will help Nana out. So one day, so you must remember that Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for itikaf. Obviously in the masjid. Then Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that, okay, I also will sit in the masjid. So she asked permission for Adina Laha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. Then Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha came, and then she sought permission for Adina Laha. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. Then Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha came, and she asked permission in the masjid. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission. So now they start taking so much place, so much space, all that. Then Nabi alayhi salatu salam was very angry. That you all want to make piety and good, but all this you're causing so much taklif. Take all your tents and out. You see? So they all took all the tent and everything, and that cubicle, let's call it, nowadays we use cubicle. So pick up all that and go away. And then Nabi alayhi salatu salam himself also broke the itikaf, went away. Open Tirmidhi, you will find it there. So you must remember this. Therefore, I myself, that some people, I'm speaking of the first 20 days mm-hmm. of itikaf. So it's nafil itikaf. They come and take so much place in the masjid that they come with the whole bed and everything. You understand? Proper bed. You understood? So I went to the trustee and them and the imam and I said, this is not permissible. You understand? You can't come here and put a whole bed and all these type of things and all. So you say, it's old man. I say, fine, it's old man. You can bring collapsible bed. You can bring this and all that. And then you don't cause taklif to anybody. So if Nana, you are saying, and I answer according to the question, the way the question is posed, Nana, to reserve place in a masjid, there's no such thing. Masjid is first come, first serve. Remember that. The only person's place that will be like fixed and specified is the imam. But the followers, no one can say, this is my place, this is my place. So take that out of your mind. But I'm addressing this question. If you mean that they put the cubicles in such a manner that the first serve is getting shorter, 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 so that is not permissible. It don't mean that you must sit for itikaf and cause the cleave to the people. That is not itikaf. That why you don't go and put your serfs, your cubicle right at the back. You are in the masjid, and remember, you are in the masjid. You want to read salat in the first serf. So what difficulty is for you? From the back you come in front. You are in the masjid. So remember, that is wrong. So sometimes our people, very good intention they have, and that is itikaf. But the manner, method in which they do it, now take this, that on both wings you will find, this side is a cubicle, that side is a cubicle, the masjid, the first serve is getting shorter, shorter all the time. That's wrong. So there's no such thing that the mu'takifin must put the mu'takif, their cubicle right in the first serve. You can put your cubicle right at the back, as long as it's in a masjid. You don't cause anybody harm. And then for salat, you come in the first serve. There's no such thing, you must read salat there and all these type of things there. So you must remember, that is wrong. So both parties are wrong. The people who sit for itikaf and take so much place, so they're causing harm to the musalli, is not permissible. And the people who are going to the masjid cannot say that this place is reserved for me and for me. No, there's no reservation in the masjid. It's Allah's house. Wa annal masajida lillah. Whoever comes first, so he must sit there. The hadith is authentic in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khairu salati, afdalu salat for the man is khairu salati rijal awwaluha wa sharruha akhiruha, that the best serve for the man is the one right in front, and the worst serve for the man is the one right at the back. So that is what way we stand and so forth.
I see the brother here from Indonesia says, Ustad, that but dear Mufti Sahab, what happens if 10 of them has to come to the masjid? Are you going to send them out? Let's watch our words, Mufti Sahab. Ustad, anonymous brother.
What it means ten? Ten people.
Ten people come for itikafji.
So you must remember that. So there's no so that. So there's no problem in that. It can be 10. It can be 20. So it don't mean that you must cause takleef to the people. You must remember that today itikaf has become a big party. Let us be honest about these type of issues. So where you got so many people, so you the trustees must use your common sense that you can put them upstairs, you can put them here and there, but you got no right to cause harm to the people who are reading Salat there. That is our point, brother. I don't know where you woke up from, so you must remember that. So you got no right to take place that I gave you the lead from Hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, go out. It's causing too much harm to the Musallis. So you must remember this, that, and today our people sit for itikaf, and then it's a big party and a jol. Therefore, sit in a masjid where there are few people. That you get much more sawab. So many people want to sit for itikaf and so forth and so on, and then they cause the cleave to the musallis, and that's not right. So you must remember that.
Somebody says here, I want to know what is the correct procedure and sunnah practice of a newborn baby, whether it is a boy or a girl who started.
MashaAllah, Islam is a complete way of life, from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave. You must remember these type of things. So let's give you, today is which day? Tuesday. So, and it is, you must remember, 21st of Ramadan, yeah, in South Africa, alhamdulillah. So I was born in Ramadan, MashaAllah, and I was born 21st Ramadan, that's right. So, yeah, it's right, today. So 21st Ramadan. So good question. So 21st Ramadan, yes, I was just checking it up again, but 99% it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just go back. This just came in, by the way. Okay, so you must remember the baby, boy, baby, girl is born. So the first thing you do is azan in the right ear. Now in this azan, you don't have to put your fingers in your ears, the person who's giving the azan. The aim of inserting the fingers in the ears is to raise the voice. Yeah, you've got to raise your voice. You'll blow the whole brain box out of the child. So remember that you can hold the child and just the baby and just give adhan in the right ear. Normally, if they bring to me, I tell them, you hold the baby because we very cut you, you know. So it's all fragile business, you know. So anyway, so that we give adhan in the right ear. And then in the left ear, we give iqama. So remember, adhan right ear, iqama the left ear. You know where you're going to read qatqamati salah and all that. Then you make tahniq. You remember. What is tahniq? From the word hannaka. Hannaka means that you take the dates, you chew it and so forth, and then you insert it. You see the palate of the baby, so it goes in there, mashallah. If you want reference of this, a very ajib waqiyah, is Bukhari Sharif. So you must remember the first awwalu mauludin bil Madina ibad al hijra. So after the migration and the muhajirin settled in Madina Munawwara, so subhanallah, when a whole year passed, there was no baby born. So they're wondering, then Abdullah bin Zubair was born. Father is Zubair bin Awam from Ashara Mubashara. Mother is Asma binti Abi Bakr, subhanallah. All of them Sahaba. That Abdullah bin Zubair Sahabi, his parents Sahabi, his grandparents Sayyidina Abu Bakr Sahabi. So you don't find this, you must remember that, such a unique. Then the day he's born, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhumah, they brought Abdullah radiallahu anhu to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now listen, Habibun is Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his saliva mubarak and inserted it in the mouth of Abdullah. Subhanallah. The first thing to enter the mouth of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu was the mubarak saliva of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is what we should know. So we don't have to put our saliva now. Our saliva is not some mubarak or something. So you must, I'm telling what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Not always, but just to show you once, twice it happened. Thereafter, then adhan, iqama, all that happened. Thereafter, the dates were given. So adhan, iqama, they did already maybe. And thereafter, you must remember, the saliva mubarak was there, and then the dates were inserted. So in the baby's mouth, you must remember that. So that you will find there. Then if you study Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, so when Hassan Basri was born, rahimahullah, he is one of the great tabi'een, the successors, who met the Sahaba and so forth. So Sayyidina Umar is second greatest personality in Islam after the messengers and prophets and so forth. And remember that he's the Khalifa there, he's based in Medina. Hassan Basri was born in Medina. Then afterwards at the age of 14, 15, they went to Iraq and all that. Nevertheless, so when he was brought, Sayyidina Umar made the tahniq. Then what dua he made? Subhanallah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made the dua, Allahumma faqqihu fi deen. Ya Allah, grant him tafaqquh. And that is what is needed today. Today we got Allah alone knows, the less we can speak. Rather read Ummati, Ummati, and you will find everything there. How the people sell the deen and destroy the deen. Anybody wants the book Ummati, Ummati, just send me a message, WhatsApp message, and just put on my number 071-888-1184. 071-888-1184, and we will send you the PDF. There's no hard copy for now. There's only PDF 071-888-1184 or for foreigners plus 2771-888-1184 and just put Ummati Ummati in the afternoon. I will send it to you, inshallah, Aziz. Okay. Then you will see what people are doing, destroying the deen of Islam. So we have to propagate the deen and defend the deen. And don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. Remember that. Okay. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu making dua for Hassan Basri, the day he's born. What dua he made? Allahumma faqqihu fi deen. Ya Allah, give him the deep, profound understanding of deenul Islam. Wa habibhu ila nas, and make him beloved to the people. So see, if I was in Iraq in 2000, small booklet, kutayb in Arabic, you say, Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri al-Wa'iz al-Bakka. You must read that book, subhanallah, so many lessons. So one day a person came to Basra, and he saw all the shops are closed. So he asked them, what is Eid today or what? They said, no, everybody is listening to Hassan Basri there in the masjid, so the shop got closed because they're listening. Subhanallah, when he used to start the lecture, then the hearts were connected and the tears were rolling. So he is crying, the people are crying and everything. So we must understand this is barakah of great, great people. So that's the day the baby is born. So today, Tuesday. Then next week, Monday is the seventh day. That also another mix-up our people make. Baby born Tuesday, so seventh day is Monday. Baby born Friday, so then Thursday is the seventh day. Then if it's a boy, you slaughter two goats or two sheep. Or if it's a girl, one goat or one sheep. Thereafter, you shave the hair. Shave the hair. Remove it totally. Boy or girl. Thereafter, you take saffron. You mix it with water, and then you apply it on the head of the baby. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. And thereafter, you must remember, you name the baby. So that is the sunnah. And name, you don't go look for fancy, fancy names. Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two hadiths come to mind. Inna Afdal al-Asma, the best Asma, and names are Abdullah wa Abdurrahman. So remember Abdullah Abdurrahman for boy, Amatullah Amatullahman for a girl. And hadith in Abu Dawood that innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamah bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum, that you will be called tomorrow on the day of justice by your name and your father's name. So what must you do? Fa ahsinu asma'akum. So choose good names. So that is what Islam is teaching. And give out some charity, mashallah. So that are what you should do on the seventh day. That is what Islam teaches us.
Somebody says my ex-mother-in-law studies very sick. Her husband, ex-father-in-law, is out of the country for work. Can I take my ex-mother-in-law to a doctor alone, Ustad?
So you are the daughter-in-law, and you are your father-in-law, and you, your father-in-law, is still your mahram even after the divorce. Wa ummahatu nisaikum. So I am still mahram for my mother-in-law. So you must remember that is how Islam works, even after death. So let's say in a case somebody's wife passed away, so that son-in-law and that mother-in-law, there is no hijab parda between between them. Even after divorce, you must remember, still he will be a mahram for her. So you want to take your mother-in-law, although you're using the word ex-mother-in-law, meaning divorce took place and so forth. So we will not encourage these type of things. What happened to her sons? What happened to her brothers? What happened to her family? So if you got so much concern for, why you don't contact them? So now you're going to go gallivanting here, there, all that. Go this hospital, go this clinic, go this doctor. Since when all that is permissible, that women alone go and all that. So no, we will not allow that. We will say, you make dua for mother-in-law and you got all the contact details, so you must remember, tell your husband, tell your husband divorced you, tell your brother, tell your family member, they can contact them and tell them what they all doing. So they must take their mother, you must remember, to the hospital and clinic and so forth.
I see our listener, our brother says here from Lanesha, Ustad, we did receive your book Ummati Ummati, and he says that there are so much of lies there. Didn't Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimand not to speak ill of the people, and you need to have proof, Ustad?
So you must remember that you must bring evidence for whatever is written there. The photos are there and then the comment is made. So you must then bring and show us. And if you go feel so strong, take us to court. So you must remember that. We'll meet you in court. No problem. So you must remember, don't come with all your sympathetic. You are the ones who close the masjid. You are the ones who take money from the Shias. Your Nurul Islam. You know that a part of it you took money. Aren't you ashamed of that? You must answer for all that. Your crooked Maulvis came on TV and legalized it. You must answer for all that. Your crooked Maulvis put halal stickers and Jesus is Lord. It's all that lies. Come and answer all that questions. Then talk too much.
No. Ustaz, can my stepson receive zakat from me, Anonymous?
Who?
Stepson. Can my stepson receive zakat?
Stepson can receive zakat. Stepfather can receive zakat. But I'll be very, very careful regarding this. Today there is so much abuse, you must remember, regarding zakat. You understood? Let me take this example that was asked. That a father wants to give his stepson. So what is the meaning here? That this person married a lady. His wife passed away or whatever. That lady came with her son from a previous husband, whether that husband passed away or whether that husband divorced her or what. So you must remember that. So in a case like that, you must remember, can he give that stepson zakat? So I will ask the question, why you want to give him the stepson? So you must, your wife's son. So it is your stepson, not your son. You can't give your son, your daughter, your parents. But why you want to give him? Why is he not working? What's wrong with him? You understand? How was he living all this time? Where's his father? The father. So we wouldn't say it's permissible. We must know all the circumstances. Because believe you me, today, somebody told me yesterday, whether it's true or not true, I don't know. But that is a question I received from two people. They say that some people are giving their zakat to one supermarket and the supermarket is distributing for them. Non-Muslim supermarket. They took the name also. So imagine what is going on. Therefore, I say this, you must remember, and I'm saying for past how many years now, 10 years or so. Today, South Africa or wherever, 70-80% of the organizations, you must never give them zakat. Understood? And they in Ummati, we even mentioned this, that these organizations, you must never give them zakat. They closed our masjid. They say Shias, you understand, they can't make one public statement. Shias are kuffar. People are swearing sahaba. So what you want to give them zakat for? So you must remember this. They're making khianat in the deen. They swear, they allowing people to swear sahaba and take money from them. Inna lillah. So you must remember that. You must never give people like that zakat and so forth. So I question you, why you want to give that? Where's his father? Where's his family structure? What's wrong with him? So it's not that anybody will just give zakat. No, it's not permissible unless we got all the facts there.
18 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and, of course, Merkaz Sahaba. There's a listener says, I would like to become the member of the voice of the voiceless, Ustad, Darul Iman.
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala reward you, whoever wants to become a member, whether you're in South Africa, Africa, any part of the world, is open for everybody. Remember these two numbers, write it down, and it's very easy to remember. For Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you hear Mawlana Arafat announcing every day, 084-786-3132, right? So that is for the WhatsApp questions, and that even now you got queries regarding marriage or related issues, you do so. We got time still, inshallah, to answer your queries. 084-786-3132. And for Darul Iman, Darul Iman is with the E. So E-M-A-A-N. So Darul, D-A-R-U-L-E-M-A-A-N, Darul Iman is 084-786-3130. 084-786-3130. And mashallah, send a WhatsApp message with your name, your place, your country, your phone number or email, and inshallah you become a member. Whatever we are doing, we'll send it out to you, inshallah. And now we got Ummati in two parts. It is the bridge one, so you just send us, you must remember, and we'll send it to you. You can send it on that number also, 084-786-3132. And if you go to the website also, you will find it there, www.darulimaan.com and so forth. You will find it there on the website as well. And mashallah, do I send it on my number, 071-888-1184, and we will send to you, remember, that the book that are there. And inshallah, make dua after Ramadan, we get it printed, hard copy. There are so many people requesting it, so we are busy negotiating and so forth. So inshallah, so Darul Iman, the WhatsApp number, 084-786-3130, the voice of the voiceless.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. See, a mommy says, I would like to know if you take drugs or dacha during your fast. Does your fast break? I tell you, Mufti, my son doesn't want to listen. Ustad.
You see, Ummi, we can empathize with you. All that we can do, you must remember that. The point I'm making is this, that what led to that? You see, we can't be just looking at the question. We have to rewind a little bit. That when the child is growing, he just cry a little bit. Does the give him. So he knows the tricks now. And he knows how to play mother against father or father against mother. So what happened? We gave them so much money spending. We gave them so much free time and so forth. And now when the mess came, now we're wondering he doesn't listen. Because now he's addicted to it. Therefore, Quran mentions these two together. Innamal khamru wal maisir. Yas'alunaka 'anil khamri wal maisir. Because drugs, alcohol, gambling, these are addictive things. You must remember this. So what happens? Now he's addicted. So if he gets a chance, he will steal from your home, Allah forbid, and sell things to get his joint and whatever. So obviously the fast is broken. And secondly, you must remember that he must get 80 lashes. In Islam, if we have a true Islamic country, which we don't have in the world today, we have Muslim countries, we don't have Islamic country, so we must whoop and lash him 80 lashes in public. That is the Islamic punishment for all these chefs taking cocaine, mandrax, and weed and dacha and what Allah alone knows, we don't even know these names. So that is the Sharia, the Islamic law, you must remember in all these instances here. So remember that the fast is broken. So you as a mother, today you look at your child. Now he's on dacha, he's on mandrax, cocaine, Allah alone knows. His fast is not valid because when he has that craving, he must take it and so forth. So imagine all this. So if you take the Hanafi law, so he's breaking his fast without a valid excuse. So one qada is compulsory and kafara is 60 consecutive fasts. So imagine he can't keep one fast, where is he going to keep 60 fasts? So look at the ramifications, the consequences and all these type of things. But all this comes back Most instances, I won't say all, but I'll say most. You must remember the parents are also are guilty. You must remember that. That we don't monitor with who they are intermingling, who their friends are, all these type of things. And we just give them freedom, give them money and so forth. So Ma is the last 9 days now we can say, and Tahajjud time, Sehri time, cry to Allah. Everything is in the hands of Allah. And read Surah 46 verse 15, iftar time, and mashallah, every day in Ramadan is an auspicious day, every night is auspicious. So make dua, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Surah chapter 46 verse 15:15, wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, that bring about piety, reform in my children, in my progeny. Surah 46 verse 15:15. And read it, cry to Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala gives hidayah to whoever he wants to.
Listener says, dear Mufti Sahab, our masjid, they put fridge and micro in masjid. Imam told me to move from my place where I sit every day. I just kept quiet, Mufti Sahab. And they got big mattress in Peter Maritzburg. New kind of etikaf, Ustad.
You see, that's the point I'm making. This etikaf today, I don't say all, but I'll tell you, it's becoming a big jol, a big party. Now, what you want fridge for etikaf? What you want microwave for etikaf? And if you're staying in a big city like that, so what need is there? All the people are nearby. So you must remember that they can bring the food. You say, no, we want this, we want this, we want this, and all this type of thing. So what etikaf is that? So, and then the people, that's the point I was making. But our brother, I think he had something hot chilies this morning. So he was blowing his fuses. You understand? Allah gave him hidayah.
I mean.
So you must remember that. So what? That's exactly the point I'm making. Since when you go ask any true alim, not these scholars for dollars and that, you go ask any true alim, it's permissible to bring fridge, microwave, all that, and tell the people you move from here, you can't stand here in the surface. It's permissible. Then. So you must remember this. Since when to make a masjid so narrow, the surf must get so narrow for your fridge and your microwave and your either bed, and I don't know what and what next they'll bring. This one place I went, I saw like a double bed, so I asked the trustee, does Mota intend bringing his wife here or what? You understood? You understood? So what you did all this, I'm asking you. So you must remember. It's not permissible. We don't carry favor with anybody. We have to protect the deen. So you must remember that. Take that fridge, take that, and tell them go make party in your house. Allah's house is not place for party. So you must remember that.
I see Sister Roshni wants to know, Ustad, what is the simplest way for etikaf, to go for etikaf, Ustad? What must we take?
The simplest way is the husband, the brother must go. I said for etikaf, but long time ago. I said that before I get married, let me sit for etikaf. So I got married in 79, 10 Shawwal, the day Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, married Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha, the best month, the best day. Allah's fazal azam in fadli rabbi. So in my mind, I said this month, I must sit for it. So Heidelberg Masjid, I said there. So how we said, subhanallah, there were 2-3 youngsters. So I told them, see, I'll take this place, you guys take that place and that. And mashallah, we just took, you must remember, one that, like a sleeping bag. Not even a mattress, just like a sleeping bag, stood. 1-2 blankets maybe, and this type of things. And no food and all that. Because why? Every day, say, every time people will come, bring my brother or somebody. And we must remember, iftar time, they will bring, and so forth. There's nothing. So you just need your basic clothes, your microwave, your lungi, and 1-2 sets of clothing. But today is a party atmosphere. Understood? What? Yesterday I answered the question. Sunday we answered the question. Yeah. People want to take laptop, and people want to take computer, and what gadgets in the masjid today? Now imagine you take a laptop, computer, all these gadgets right in the masjid. All these haram photos, the men's photo, woman's photo, half naked, all entering the masjid. So, because you're staying there, you're going to play with your phone the whole time, and this, when nobody is there, they say, no, I'm using this for my Quran. So all the Qurans in the masjid you can't use. See, everything we got answer for. But if you're sincere, you don't need. I go to masjid, alhamdulillah, I'm here every day in the masjid. I never take my phone. You understood? Sometimes maybe it's emergency is different thing, but definite. So always they ask me, we don't carry phone. I said, no. So why must we take our phone in the first place? You must remember to the masjid. Then you hear ping and ring and ting and all that. It's not desecrating the masjid. So much harm you are causing. How many times I announce myself, all you brothers making noise here, don't you realize what you are doing?
Allah.
Instead of Allah's rahmat coming, Allah's la'nat is coming. So we don't, that azmat, that respect of the masjid is gone. But we say etikaf, so you must remember that. So all these fridges, microwaves, I don't know what and what, big beds, take everything out. That is not etikaf. Go sit, make etikaf, go sit in your house. So that is a law of Islam. You must remember that. That is not etikaf. There's a big jol, a big party you want to have.
I see a revered sister, Ustaz, she would like to remain anonymous. She said, dear Mufti Saab, my beloved husband has set for sunnah i'tikaf last night, but before he left he told me that if she wants to get in contact with him, she must go to his sheikh. If she wants to know anything about him, must go to the sheikh. Is it permissible, Ustad? Revered sister, make me maaf, Ustad.
I can't understand these things here. Now take this now. This is a revered sister.
Allah
alone knows when she embraced Islam. This year, 2021, 2020, or 5 years ago. But just put it in context.
2020, Ustad.
2020, right? Last year she embraced Islam. She got married, this guy is pious, he got married to her, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala keep them happy.
Ameen, ameen.
Then they may be both connected to ABC, Sheikh, XYZ, Sheikh and that. Now you work it out that he's sitting for etikaf. But now, if something happens, she mustn't contact the husband, she must contact the sheikh. And the sheikh gave that directives. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So you must remember that. So he told all his murids there that you must tell your wives, if they want to contact you, they must contact me first. So who is the guilty party? Who needs sheikhs like this? You must remember.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you speak like this, they'll tell you you're against it. We're not against the sheikh. We are against the wrong advice the sheikh is giving. You must remember these kind of things there. So remember that in case like that, you don't have to contact him, nothing. So you must contact your husband directly. There's an emergency in your house. You're going to contact the sheikh. And if the sheikh is sleeping, then what? So you must remember. You will wake up. Till the time he has to wake up, by that time the whole house will be on fire.
Allah.
So Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So, see, common sense, you know. So, Islamically, these are things we must know. Therefore, I'm on the record, and you can quote me anywhere. Today, so many sheikhs, they got these woman murids. This woman murid come right in front of them, they're kissing their hand, there's no hijab, no. What sheikh is that? He's not sheikh, he's shaitan. So you must remember that. His eyes is not on reforming and making you come closer. His eyes on how much he can collect. The zamana. This is the truth. Whether we like, we don't like. You must remember the zamana we living in. Yu'minuna bil ghayb, it become Allah forbid, secondary. Is yu'minuna bil jayb, you must remember. This khanka got competition with that khanka. That khanka got competition with that khanka. How many murids build up my fan club? Build up my dust, build up my dust. Is that what we want to do? So, is that? We saw the greatest sheikhs of our time. Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib, Madar Zad Wali, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, Rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars India, Pakistan produced. Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, Rahimahullah, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya, Sheikhul Hadith, Nawar Allah Marqad. None of them all did all these funny things. So they were the greatest sheikhs of our time. They were masters in tasawwuf. They were masters in Quran, Hadith, Fiqh and all this type of thing. And we can go on with the list. You must remember this. But today, in the Arab world, Sheikh, you must remember Lutfullah Abbasi and all of them. So we saw all these people with Allah's help. But they never did all these funny things that you tell the female murid must contact me, don't contact your husband. It's shaitani at this type of things here. So therefore, me... If you want my advice, my 2 cents worth advice, it's better you don't have to look with such sheikh. You understood? Giving you all ups. Then after the etikaf is finished, then he will tell you, you know, your marriage got too many problems. Best thing, you divorce your wife, and after the iddah, sheikh is getting married to her.
Astaghfirullah.
Didn't we have incidents?
Ji, Ustad.
Yeah. What is all this? All in the name of deen. Therefore, if you read, you see, some people, they say, the old ulama, Arab ulama, they were, this wasn't against. They see all these funny things. Otherwise, I got Madarij al-Salikin by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Every person should read that. What is true tasawwuf? Go read Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam's book, Fiqh al-Tasawwuf and that. What is true tasawwuf and so forth? Today, we have made funny all these type of things. That is not tasawwuf, that is shaitaniyat, these type of things there. That the sheikh will control the wife of the murid. What is
Allah,
that? Astaghfirullah. We ask Allah, Allahumma la tu'akhidna bima fa'ala sufa'u minna.
Ameen,
ya Allah,
ameen.
Don't punish us because of what our people are doing. It's a serious, serious crime.
I see sister, her name is Sabira, and she says, Mufti Sab, how did Mufti Sab know all this? Did somebody inform Mufti Sab? Because we are four revered sisters, and we're all in a group, and we are contacting the sheikh. All the husbands are gone for i'tikaf.
Anyway, wherever your sheikh is or whatever, it's better you don't tell me all the names and all this kind of thing. But to me, nobody told me on all these things. All Allah's fazl. My advice, I told you it's 2 cents worth. But my advice, if what you all are saying is the truth, remember, it's better to cut off all ties with the sheikh and tell your husband also. In Islam, it can never happen that the wife must be more answerable to the sheikh than the husband. Remember that. There's no such thing in Islam like that.
Ustad, one more question. Somebody says here, Mufti Sahib, respected. Mufti Sahib, my name is Zakia, but no one pronounces my name properly in my family to the point that I was thinking of changing it. They just spoil my name. They call me Zaki and Zeku. It sounds so ugly, Ustad. Can I change it?
Okay, yeah. I just told you the hadith just now. The hadith in Abu Dawood. Innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamah bi-asmaikum wa asmai abaikum fa-ahsinu asma'akum. Choose good names. This is the instruction of Nabi alayhi salam. See, I give you one example. One day, a lady contacted me via WhatsApp or phone or whatever. She say I gave birth or her daughter gave birth or something like that. So they want to keep the name Samina. So I said, you know what the meaning of Samina? You know, in the old days, they had a girl known Little Lotta, the fat one. I say, your daughter will become like Little Lotta. So she wasn't very impressed, you know. I said, but that's the meaning. Then afterwards, I started thinking, I said, you know what? The name you are suggesting, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's not Samina with a seen. It is Samina with a tha. So Samina, what the Sa means, to be precious and valuable. Now see the pronunciation, this changed. From very precious, valuable, it became fat and so forth, because you didn't pronounce it properly. So Zakiya, Zakiya means intelligent, very, very intelligent, with a Zal. But now people corrupted the name and so forth and so on. So you don't have to change your name, but you must tell them, my name is Zakiya. Pronounce it properly and so forth. So there's no need to change the name. The change is to educate the people and tell them what the meaning is, and inshallah, and therefore when people ask me names, I always tell them, choose easy names and good names that got good meaning. Don't make life difficult. People mispronounce it, people going to distort it and so forth. So see, it's a major sin. We got 1 minute left. Quickly, our brother Yusuf Ali is here already. See, regarding names, what Quran says, Surah 7, Surah A'raf, verse 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Verily, Almighty Allah has beautiful, wonderful names. So invoke and call Almighty Allah by His name. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That whosoever memorizes the 99 beautiful names, whoever reads it, they enter Jannah. Make it habit every day. Ramadan, post-Ramadan, we read it, mashallah. You'll go to Jannah, but we all go Jannah with Allah's mercy. The next sentence, وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Leave those people who corrupt the name of Allah. Ghaffar. Allah is very forgiving. Now we went and made Jeff out of it. Sattar, and that is Allah's name, all covering. So we made and made Sattar, and we made Satu and Sati, and with the stot. So Almighty Allah is teaching us, these people, leave them out. You mustn't mingle with them. They are mocking the names of Almighty. See, Allah is telling you. So therefore, we must be very careful when it comes to names, that we must pronounce them properly. See Ambiya's name, Suleiman Soli. So when that is permissible, mocking the name of a Nabi. So therefore, brothers, sisters, be very careful. Okay, we got news now with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, Maulana Qattani, and inshallah, thereafter, after Adhan, then 1:05 to 1:30, inshallah, we have Surah Ash-Shu'ara, and verses, remember, 1:23 to 1:40, inshallah, and thereafter, the archives, and that will be Surah A'raf, and verses 38 to 42. And thereafter 2:02, inshallah, the live Q&A regarding Ramadan issues with Maulana Zahid Khan. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafidhahullah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Allah. Merkez Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.